You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 369 and our 10th full season of the podcast. Today is Sunday, June 4th, 2017, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hamilton and Curtis. And guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss the remade bench, all the errors the team's committing, and Jaime Garcia's continued good run. But first, guys, this weekend's usage of Adonis Garcia, who returned from the DL, and we all assumed, and the beat writers were writing about, that Rio was going to get the majority of the starts and that basically Garcia would start against lefties because his splits are terrible against righties. But Garcia started all three games in Cincinnati, and the first two pitchers were righties. So this prompted a bunch of conversation on Twitter. I was complaining that Ruiz didn't get the starts. It brought out a lot of play the kids, but also play the vets because we need to trade them at the deadline. So, Ham, we're exactly a third of the way through the season.
Yep.
Six games under 500, 7.5 out of first. How do you see the season at this point?
I think we know enough at this point to know that we're not going to compete for a postseason spot. I just don't see it happen. I think it's deluding ourselves, I think, if we think it's worth chasing. I like this team. They're exciting, but we're not going to the postseason. But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the goal is here. I don't think you can both try to play for now and play for the future at this point. So are we trying to, if we want to, are we trying to develop our amazing young talent and get them ready to be part of our future winning team? Or are we worried about selling tickets this year and our first year in a brand new ballpark, and you're trying to engage the community and the fans and to be excited and engaged?
And the answer, Ham, is definitely both. I mean,
but I don't think we can do both.
We've heard it. Right. I agree.
The retooling. It's the retooling thing. Right.
We have talked about it for years, and the front office has been saying it for years. It's been the half pregnant thing for a couple of years now. Not fully the rebuild, still wanting to field a competitive team. They're absolutely worried about momentum with this first year with the stadium and ticket sales and having a competitive team. And obviously the plan with the three veterans, two-thirds of it has been, an abject failure. So, look, I agree. I get that they want to field a competitive team.
Yeah, and they're human. They want to win. Coppy wants to win. Snicker wants to win. All the players want to win. You know, that's part of it too.
And I want them to win in every game. I want them to win. And we have a two-game winning streak now. And I'm like, yeah, something's starting. And I'm still watching the scoreboard. But like in reality, I don't believe any of that. This has become much like last year in my mind, where the record and the outcome of the games don't really matter. It's about Folty, and it's about Dansby, and it's about Kemp, and it's about the guys that are part of the future, which gets me back to Garcia. Yeah. Why are you starting Garcia, particularly against righties, even if you believe that you have to showcase Garcia so that you can maybe trade him, despite the fact that he's like bottom third of third baseman in offense and defense? I mean, it's kind of like to think that we're going to get a lot for Garcia is delusional to begin with, but showcase him carefully, right? Yeah. Don't send him out there against a bunch of righties that he doesn't do well. Now, of course, he went He went 6-10.
Yeah. But I think you don't want Ruiz platooning, though. I think Ruiz needs to go back down to Gwinnett. Like, I don't think he's ready to be here yet, especially if he's, going to be used situationally. Let him go back down to Gwinnett. It's not like he's banging on the door to be part of this team.
Well, but I disagree, Ham. I am not of the mind that let's just get rid of Dickey and Cologne and let's throw Sims and Newcomb up there, even if we don't think they're ready. I don't think it's wise to just throw the guys out there before they're ready. But Ruiz got forced into action because of the injury, and he's afforded himself pretty well. I think he has earned a right to start, you know, 75% of the games. If they're going to keep him up here, they've got to start him. It's just silly to make him a bench guy.
Let me ask you something. Snitker is obviously an old school type of manager. Is there a possibility that part of this Adonis Garcia getting to come back and play is simply that he's not going to lose his job due to injury?
Maybe, but you know, even in that regard, starting him three games in a row after coming back off the DL from a hamstring thing, that'll forget if Ruiz was here. That alone doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, ease the guy in. Like, so little of it made sense to me.
Yeah.
So Curtis, do you think that you just start playing the kids? Do you play all the vets because we want to showcase people? How do you, given we're a third of the way in and we know who this team is,
yeah,
how do you play it?
Or can you do both, Curtis? You
think? Yeah, I mean, it's so tough. It's such a, because you obviously we all want the team to continue to win and put the best effort forth. And so you're sort of sitting on a fence because a lot of these young guys are not ready to compete at the major league level. So if they do come up, you get to watch them play, but you also get to watch the Braves lose a lot. So, but Rio Ruiz is a guy to me that's sort of a fringe guy. I mean, there's no guarantee that he's going to be the third long-term third baseman. You know, I mean, we've got Austin Riley, we've got Kevin Maton, we've got guys like that that are much farther down in the system. But Rio Ruiz is kind of a guy that we need to figure out where he fits. Is he a guy that we can get some years out of and be a serviceable third baseman? So with that regard, I'd rather see him play. Adonis, like you guys said, there's very little trade value for Adonis Garcia.
Yeah.
And him being a situational hitter makes him even a better or more valuable bench piece to me.
Right. He's a very valuable bench piece. Exactly. He could actually hit a home run.
Right. And I mean, it's not like he's one of the worst defenders on the team again. And not that Ruiz is one of the great defenders, but I just think you have to start making this transition. You have to start. We're old, you know, I mean, we've got to start seeing some of these young guys that come up to come up and see them play. We have to give some opportunities to some of these younger players because now is the time.
Right. It is. Ruiz specifically is on a platter. He came here. He was forced up here. He's not over his head. Let's see what we have with him.
Yeah. And it's not like you're saying bench Matt Kemp or bench, you know, Nick Markakis or something like that. Yeah, anybody. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like we're sitting here saying, well, Freddie Freeman should be benched because Matt Adams is being so hitting so well since he's taken over. You know, I mean, it's not anything like that. Adonis Garcia is a marginal major league player. I appreciate the energy that surrounded him in this Twitter back and forth. You touched a third rail there. Apparently, there's a lot of Adonis Garcia fans out there. And he's been fun.
Strangely.
He's been, and I mean, and he has contributed to the point that we've all enjoyed what he's done. But I mean, seriously, come on.
Maybe Adonis's mom has a bunch of fake Twitter accounts.
They're bots.
I'm an Adonis fan. You guys,
Adonis. No, I like Adonis too, but
he's not selling tickets. I mean, the only thing I could think is that Snicker's missive is to win games no matter what, and he thinks Adonis gives him a better chance than Ruiz. He's not thinking about getting Ruiz, you know, seasoning and playing time. He's thinking, I have to win right now with what I got, and I think Adonis gives me a better chance. That's the only reason. It's not like he's, like you said, he's not showcasing Adonis. There's nothing to showcase. He thinks for some reason Adonis gives him a better chance right now to win.
And it doesn't make sense, but in theory, I mean, you can respect that, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, he's not giving up. I think that's the sense.
Yep.
But I just would rather at this point, this is a perfect opportunity for a young player to get some playing time.
All right, guys, let's move on to some headlines from the past week. So as we alluded to, lots of movement on the bench and the bullpen earlier this week as Adonis and EOF came off the DL. That prompted the DFA of Bonifacio, cue the celebratory music. they sent Whistler down, and then maybe the biggest surprise / not big surprise, they demoted Jace Peterson to AAA and brought up Camargo. So, Kurt, what do you think about the moves?
I have to admit, I was a little surprised by the Jace move. But I mean, sure, shake it up. I mean, this team needs shaking up.
Camargo, so Kurt, were you surprised because Jace isn't so bad, or surprised because, my God, they were playing him a lot? I didn't think they cared about the results. I mean, because Jace was bad.
Yeah, I guess because he's very versatile. He can play lots of positions playing lots of positions. Yeah.
He can make errors at a lot of positions.
Right, and he can
underperform in a number of positions.
He cannot hit filling in for a lot of guys. So he has gone down to Gwinnett and torn the cover off the baseball. But, I mean, it's worth – he's one of those guys that
– he may be a quad A player, you know. Right. I mean, that's what we may be learning about Jace.
Yeah, I mean, Camargo's really done nothing. Santana had a nice little series, but he's really done nothing. I mean, they're sort of
– Well, Santana at least has some potential.
Yeah,
he looks – you know, Santana has some potential.
Look, the bench has not been great, so why not bring some new pieces in, see what you got. And if Jace gets reinvigorated down in Gwinnett and can come back here at some point and contribute again, all the better.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to think to myself, what was the bench on opening day? And I knew, of course, Bonifacio and Jace and Suzuki, and I couldn't think of who the fourth guy on the bench was. And because it's so bad, I blocked it out. Do you guys remember?
Anthony Recker?
Yes, it was Recker. Started the year on the bench.
Yep.
So compare, you know, Bonifacio, Jace, Suzuki, and Recker to Suzuki, Santana, Camargo, and Adonis/Ruiz. It is an improvement. The bench is better. It took a third of a season to do it, but the bench is better.
And wait till Matt Adams is on our bench.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're definitely more intriguing. You know, maybe not better right now, but definitely.
Yeah, the team is an interesting team to watch. Three-fifths of the starting rotation notwithstanding. You know, the team's interesting to watch. All right, so Ham, that Angels game last Tuesday with the three errors and the nine runs against Cologne was really maybe the worst inning of baseball I've ever seen. And to have to stay up so late to watch it, too.
Yeah.
Really unfair. So the Braves have the most number of errors in the NL at 41, the second most in the majors, which is 58.
Thank you, Oakland.
Yeah, exactly. My God. And to me, this is another reason why we're not going to the postseason this year. Forget the starting pitching, which is hard to forget because that's enough to keep us out. But when you've got Dansby with over 25% of those errors, leading the team at 11, and Adonis and Phillips have contributed to nine more, you're not going to win with a porous infield, right?
You're not. And you can only hope that there's just growing pains, right? And that Dansby will get better and that we will get better at these things. But no, I mean, it's the Braves are they're only 11th in terms of earned runs, but they're 6th in terms of runs. They have one of the largest gaps between runs and earned runs. So their pitching is bad. They're unlucky. And the feeling behind them is horrible. So you're not going to win with that. And it's hard to get a measure of what you have and what you should do, you know, per the earlier conversation.
Are you guys worried about the Dansby errors? I mean, he was supposed to be really slick in the infield and we were going to worry about his hitting, but he has not looked great at times. He has looked great at other times, but you worried?
I feel like it's a pressing that he's pressing everywhere, frankly.
Yeah.
And that like his inability to hit is carrying over to his defense. I just think his whole game is sort of out of whack right now. And I think that it's permeated to every level of it. It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
But in his defense, he has played the second most innings of any player behind Ender all season, and he's had the second most total chances. So, he is seeing a lot more volume than the other guys on the team are. But still, I think 11 is a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we talked a couple episodes ago about we needed to see more data on Dansby, right? We compared his first 50 at-bats of the season to his second 50 at-bats, I think. And we're like, let's see more data. Would it make sense to send Dansby down?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think that he's got to learn on the job. This is We know that he's going to be here. I don't think it's going to – I don't think facing sliders in AAA is really going to help him as much as facing sliders here in the majors. I am very willing to believe that he just hasn't played that many professional games. Yeah. You know, I mean, 2 years ago he was at Vandy. So I am really willing to believe that this is just growing pains.
Yep.
So, Curtis, in his last five appearances, Jim Johnson has two blown saves. He also has a really impressive two-inning appearance in Cincinnati on Saturday to get the win. But, you know, back to the conversation that started the show about how do you approach the games moving forward, would you make a change at closer?
I don't think I would. I don't know who I would feel as comfortable, more comfortable with being back there. I mean, they're all sort of shaky. Vizcaino's shaky. Who else would you put there? Jaime Ramirez or somebody?
No,
like
I mean,
that?
To me, Vizcaino is the only option. So I agree that Vizcaino's a bit of an adventure out there. But, you know, he's given up one earned run and has a 3-1 strikeout to walk ratio in his last 16 appearances.
Yeah.
So I would put Vizzy out there. Vizzy will be the closer next year. And it's certainly getting to be time to see what he can really do.
Yeah. It's Jose Ramirez. But I mean, Jim Johnson only gave up 3 earned runs all of May. I know that there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just sort of just happens to be that, whatever it was, Steve, that you just said, two of the last five.
Those two blown saves were ugly as hell.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, and I mean, he obviously
really
crosses
threw
the game
games
because,
away.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's the role of a closer. If they blow a game, it usually is not going to be good. Hence the term blown.
Yes.
Yeah, but we have a huge stretch of home games coming up, minus that series with the Nats. And he's much better at home this year. I think he's a trade option. I wouldn't mind trading Jim Johnson if we could get something for him.
And then re-signing him.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know,
well, and
that's the most value I think he has to us right now. Again, if I'm not so worried about winning games this year, but I would like to put him in a situation where he could look really good, where a team is desperate and would give up something for him.
Yeah, and frankly, it's how this will turn out. They will keep him there, and they expect to trade him.
Yeah.
So, Ham, Jaime Garcia continues to produce. He's given up one earned run over his last three starts, and that has been 5 walks to 15 strikeouts. Again, that 3-1 ratio. So, Ham, he's the only pitcher of the three vets that will likely have any trade value at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Would you trade him?
Absolutely. There's nothing. There's no. I mean, it's the theme of this conversation is, you know, make space for the kids, get what you can for your vets. But I would pitch him as much as you can, you know, showcase him as much as you can, and then trade him as soon as someone makes an offer. That's the most value that he has to us in the long term.
Yeah. I mean, if we had, you know, if we had an option for next year or he was under control for next year, I would think pretty hard about keeping him around for stability. You know, because there's not going to be that many kids ready to fill the rotation next year. But given the fact that he's a free agent at the end of the season, absolutely trade him.
Yep.
All right. So, guys, we'll finish up with some love for Folty. In that tiny stadium in Cincinnati, he threw 7 innings of shutout ball, 2 hits, 10 strikeouts. It's amazing. When Folty has his great starts, almost, you know, like the last 3 or 4 great starts, I'm tempted to say that's been his best start of his career. Like, he's had some real gems this year, and it will only get more consistent. You know, I mean, that's what this growth sort of curve is. But Folty, Folty, I think, is really coming into his own here.
Well, one addition to this, Jeff Schultz brought it up today in the AJC about, is it time to trade Julio Teheran? Any thoughts on that?
Would you get much for him? My God, Grant McCauley tweeted one of the most depressing tweets I'd seen in a long time, which was comparing Julio's last 9 games to Bartolo's last 9 games. Oh, no. And Julio has given up 2 more earned runs than Bartolo. And of course, more home runs. I mean, so.
Yeah, the home runs is just brutal.
3-3 in Anaheim.
And 2 today.
I mean, it depends on what we were offered, right? If it was something decent, you got to consider it because this has been bad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at some point, and where is our starting pitching coming from next year? If we do trade Jaime Garcia, obviously you'd have to re-sign him, but I mean, it can't be Sims and Newcomb starting as half of the or two-fifths of the rotation next year. I mean,
well, that's the thing. I mean, Tehran not being your foundational number one, I mean, screws up a lot.
Yeah. So even if Fulte jumps to one, and even if you can push Tehran back, I mean, you're going to have to go sign a guy or two again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and right. And I think Dickey has an option. There's no way they're going to do that.
God, he's terrible.
Dickey's been terrible.
You don't want to give Cologne a couple extra years to figure it out.
Just to see. Yeah.
Steve doesn't want to give him another couple of starts to figure it out.
All right, guys. Next up, we'll do Shot in the Dark. But first, a quick break. All right, guys. Let's move on to Shot in the Dark, our predictions for the coming week. And we'll look back at last week. And we'll start with our listener shot in the dark from Sean Murphy on Twitter. And he predicted that Jim Johnson would get more saves than Julio would give up earned runs. Oh, talk about getting one wrong. So JJ had an eventful week with a blown save, a save, and a win, but not as eventful as Julio, who gave up 10 earned runs over his two starts. God, today, Sunday, the final game in Cincinnati. What a ugly, ugly start for Julio today. And with stake to such a big lead.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, let's look back at our predictions. So, Ham, you predicted that Ender would hit over 300, have 3 stolen bases, and 3 runs scored. Ender hit 392 this week, certainly aided by his 5-for-5 on Sunday. He had 1 stolen base and 4 runs scored. Curtis, you had Rio Ruiz at 290 and 5 extra base hits. Rio hit 154, and it was all singles. Wait, now I agree with Snicker. I hadn't seen those.
Let's go back and
let's re-record the start of the show. I had Markakis hitting 2 home runs, not a 1 for Markakis. So, Hammy, I'm giving it to you.
All right.
Yeah, so June starts with Ham and a 1-0 lead. All right, so what are our predictions for this coming week, Hammy?
I think the Braves will, the sneak peek to the week ahead section coming up, they'll go 4-4, but they will have a 16-plus run differential in the games they win, and a negative 16-run differential in the games they lose. So it's going to be a very up-and-down week. We're going to win good and lose bad.
This is a add 10 minutes to my show prep prediction, is what this is.
It really is.
All right, Curtis, what do you got?
Mine is involving the use of pie. yeah, I say that they go 5-3, but they give up over 50 earned runs this week.
Yeah, so over 6 runs a game.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of games this year, and their pitching is not very good.
I'm getting that feeling as well. All right, I will predict that Dansby really turns it around this week and hits over 400. All right, folks, don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday. And if we pick yours, we will discuss it on next week's show. All right, so guys, let's look to the next week. 8 games this week, the crazy 8-game schedule, all at home because of a doubleheader Sunday with the Mets. So here are the pitching matchups. Cologne, so we get 2 Cologne starts this week, which is nice. Cologne versus
Kurt's rubbing his hands for the shot in the dark.
Yeah, exactly.
He may have factored that in.
Yes, and Tehran pitches at home too. So,
all right, Cologne versus Nick Pivetta and his 5.12 ERA. I'm sorry, this is the Philly series. We're facing the Phillies for 4 games and then the Mets for 4 games. Jaime Garcia gets Aaron Nola and his 5.06. Next up is Fulte versus Jared Eichhoff and his 5.13. And then lastly, Dickey faces Ben Lively, who has only started once this year. He went 7 innings, 1 earned. He has a 1.29. So the first 3 guys have over 5 ERAs for the Phillies. The Phillies are bad. My God, we should win three of those four games. Of course, Cologne and, well, and look, we've got Jaime and Folty pitching in that series. It's, you know, our two good pitchers.
Yeah.
All right, on to the Mets series. Tehran versus Matt Harvey in a battle of the, you know, fallen stars. Matt Harvey has a 543. Next up, Cologne versus Seth Lugo. He's coming off the DL. He has a 267. The Braves have not announced a starter for game two of the doubleheader on Saturday, but whoever that is will face Steven Matz, who is also coming off the DL. He has a 316. And then the final game will be Garcia versus DeGrom and his 397. But I wonder if they're really just going to, you know, move everybody in their normal order, right? And just have Garcia start the Saturday night game. And who would it be? Who comes after Garcia? Folty would be the Sunday start. I wonder if that's, I mean, they can do a bullpen start on the Saturday night or bring up Whistler. No, they just sent Whistler down. He wouldn't even be able to come up yet.
Blair?
Oh, God, I hope not. I mean, I suppose if in those, you know, six games prior, you've got a bullpen guy that, you know, has three appearances in a row and you know you're not going to start him, you send him down, you bring Blair up, Blair gets the start, and then Blair stays up as the long man for a while. I suppose that's the other option. We will see. So, Hammy,
especially if I need them giving up 50 plus earned runs this
week. Yeah, Kurt exactly. Continues to lick his chops. did you say Hammy, Aaron? Did you say Aaron Blair? 60 earned runs. I think 4-4. I think they go 4-4. 2-2, 2-2. I think it's going to be a very Jekyll and Hyde week.
Like the season. All right, Curtis.
I already threw it out there. 5-3. I don't know how that breaks out. Which series they go 3-1 and which one they go 2-2, but 5-3.
Yeah, I will go 5-3 as well. It'd be nice to have a winning week. It has been a while. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, we are at our new home at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. As always, you can find us on AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. And you can find past shows there and post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit